Okay, we're on daf yud test. Ksiv kisamo kamas reyacha. Yachol b'sha'ar kol adam ha'kasam adaber. This is an unbelievable havamina. That you might think it's talking about anybody can come into the field and take partake of the fruit. Because it says kisamo, when you come in, you will be able to eat, right? So maybe it means anybody can come in. So the Mefarshim explain, of course, that was never a havamina. Again, the Torah wasn't mafkir. No one would be able to make a living if anybody could come in and take anything. It's not like against your Shemitah, you know? So what must it mean, the havamina? The havamina has been that you come in voluntarily and work in the field. You weren't hired. You voluntarily worked in the field. I hate those guys. They come in, they like that. Oh, I'm going to help you. I didn't ask her to help me. But these guys coming in, they're helping, and you might think that since they're helping, that they get a right to take some food. Does that make sense?
Evid?
Who's talking about an Evid?
100%,
because he's not there on his own. Well, wait a second. I don't know why you've gotten into the Evid thing for it. I mean, we're going to see in a second about Evid, but. But why are you mentioning Evan now?
Because you said that the criteria is based on that he came, he said, well, he had the choice to decide to come.
The pasuk says Kisavo b'kamas reyacha, which sounds like it's anybody, not just a hired worker. That's what we were saying. Okay? Yochel b'shar kol adam ha'kasam adaber, than anybody who comes in and enters on his own to do work, even if he's not hired, tamal lemer b'chem rish lo'son if ha'kamas v'yachol. A sickle, you shall not lift against the standing grain of your fellow. So in other words, the pasuk is telling me what? The pasuk is telling me that when I eat from the field, because I'm a worker, you can only do it by hand. You can't start using farm equipment to start harvesting for yourself. That's not what the pasuk had in mind. The pasuk had in mind, you could take a little snack by hand. Okay? So, eshiyesh lo rishus lahanif. This is talking, obviously, to someone who has permission to start hacking with a sickle, meaning for the baal bayis, but not for himself. The ezezeh ha'poyel. That's a guy who's hired, not someone who voluntarily comes. Isi ben akavi oimer b'shar kol adam ha'kasam adaber, that it is talking about any person who enters the field. In other words, he holds... He holds in a Hanami if you voluntarily, right? Was that what it says over here?
Yeah, anybody.
I mean, actually, this is where he speaks this thing out in the footnote 13, second paragraph. He says, that's where he speaks this out. Anyone who wants to assist with the harvest can come and work, his only penance being that which would he would eat. So, all right. Anyway, so that's what it says over here. So that's what he holds on halacha. Matam l'mechem shloi sonif. So what does it mean, a sukkah you may not lift? So what does he do with the Tanakhama's pasuk? Mikan shein l'rishus l'achol and b'shas ha'nafas ma'agol. From here you see, the timing of being able to take the food is only when you're busy harvesting, right? You can't take, after you're done with the harvest, you can no longer take food. Okay. Tani, Reb Shem Meichai, Omer, and Echon diktaka hatoyer begazel. Here we have an ethical, he says, it calls it an ethical something, right? Derives an ethical lesson from this prohibition. So Rav Shmuel Michai says, look how far the Torah is makvid on on theft. Shetzricha ladon ben om lachaveiroi. You had to, the Torah had to go ahead and make these fine distinctions. When you could take food and when you could not take food, meaning ad kadei hanafas magal, he says it's to the extent of prohibiting the lifting of a sickle. So what's that mean? Even though the Torah grants a worker permission to partake of the produce, he forbids him to use a sickle designed to causing excessive loss. So. That's one shot. Alternatively, he's referring to the fact that the worker's entitlement applies specifically at the time of the harvest. Only at that time when the owner is in a relatively generous frame of mind, does the Torah allow him to eat from the produce. Taking produce at an earlier time would be theft. Okay. Anyway, so the point, Rav Shimon Chai, whatever the pshat is, Rav Shimon Chai is saying, you see the Torah was yored l'seif daito shalotim, see how careful it is about geneva. So you should take that ethical lesson to be machmed on gazel in general, right? Not an additional lesson, but toch kein, on the basis of this law, we can also say the following, gedola melacha, how great is work? Don't read this too loud. How great is work? Shalachorav, dor ha-mabal, mea gazel, the whole generation of the flood was because of their stealing, right? Ki melacha aretz chamas mit nehem, Pasuk says it beferish, right? And upay loisim lachtav eichel, but the pile does some work and he gets to eat, right? He gets to take things from me that he didn't pay for. You see how great work is? A worker gets to get that which the dor ha-mabal was destroyed for. Unbelievable. Part of my gazel, he's exempt. Obviously, it's not gazel. I mean,
it's part of his salary.
It's not part of his salary. No. It's he's not getting paid for it at all. He has a right to take food which he's not paid for at all,
when he's working,
and that is a pseudo. It's a pseudo gazel in the sense that he's taking something. Belongs to someone else without paying for it. That's all. Of course, it's not gazel. Of course, he's doing it b'rishus ha-Torah, obviously. But that's the whole point over here. You see, the Torah is where it's so machbin on gazel that it destroys the world because of that avera. But here, it takes it to the edge.
What does gedola melacha mean?
So it's the act of being a poel that allowed this to occur, and therefore you see how great melacha is. I mean, I don't know exactly.
But you're saying that it's not a job.
No, it changes.
It is a job.
No, he's not getting paid, you said.
He gets paid for doing melacha. Of course he does.
Not here.
Yes, he's getting paid for doing.
This is a voluntary job.
No, I never said he'd volunteer. No. Absolutely not. He's a poel. He's getting paid for the job. Except the Torah says you can take food as a side benefit. Okay. 18, despite the severity ascribed to the transgression of stealing, the Torah allows the laborer to eat from the produce with which he's working, even without the owner's consent. Right, that's another point. So that's a testament to the great significance of work. I don't know exactly. Okay, hell, that's a great assessment. It is.
The value of work is so great that the Torah accommodated you.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, it ain't great. I admit, it isn't great. It isn't the most...
The opposite, he's in a very tough situation because if he takes too much, then he's going to be over on gazel.
He can't take with a sickle.
Right, but
correct.
I'm saying even if he takes by hand too much...
By hand, there's no limit. By hand, there's no... I don't think there's a limit.
No.
I don't think so. In fact, we'll see soon. Ksiv lo saksim shor b'disho, it says you can't muzzle an ox. Inli lo shor b'tol shvadim b'mechumar. I only know an ox that's working with tolish, right? That ox, because daish disho is threshing, which is obviously something which is not attached to the ground. Adam b'mechumar and a person who is working with, you know, right? Because the pasuk is saying, when you are in your kisava b'kamas reyacha, b'kantam lilas b'dacha, right? What's the pasuk? Kisava b'kamas reyacha, b'kantam lilas b'dacha, b'kemish l'sonif, al kamas reyacha. So you're working with the kama, that's the stuff that's attached, right? So, adamau shiyacha b'tolish. But what about a person, if it's tolish, can he take tolish, right? We only have a pasuk that tells me a behema betolish and a person b'mechumer. What about a person betolish? So the Gemara makes a kalvachimer. Madach, look at this kalvachimer. Madach, im hashor sheino eichel b'mechumer, harayu eichel betolish. Madach, of an animal who cannot eat b'mechumer, he can eat tolish. So a person, shu eichel b'mechumer, alach is kama v'kama, zeno din, shu eichel betolish, right? That's the kind of kalvachimer. It's the kind of kalvachomer that the Yerushalmi would make up, right?
What does it mean?
The shor doesn't take.
Not allowed to eat.
Doesn't have any rights.
So when it's plowing, it's not allowed.
It says losach some shor bidisho. It says.
Only bidisho.
It says that it's talking about when it's tallish. Doesn't say anything about if he's plowing around the trees to loosen up the ground. It doesn't seem that there's
a little snack.
It sounds like you can muzzle him. That's what it sounds like from here. Yeah. Yeah. So one. So next page, the testament based. So now it should be a better girsa here. Is I think the gra
says here in the last paragraph number 23.
Yeah.
If it cannot be taken literally, for the Gemara below concludes that an ox does in fact partake when working with attached produce.
Oh, you're correct. So it's not explicit. What the pasuk is saying is it's not explicit in the pasuk. But in Echanami, we're going to see later on that he can eat betolish, right? Means the obligation to allow an ox to partake of attached is not is explicit in the Torah. The fact that the Torah does not state this entitlement explicitly, as it does by the human, is indication that his entitlement is conceptually weaker. Okay. So it's conceptually weaker. Okay? So thank you very much for making that clearer. Okay? So I was invited. So the Gra, usually you don't start it's a new sentence. Very rare to see Talmud Leimar to be a start of a new sentence. It's usually the proof of a previous question. So the Gra, I think, changes the girsa completely over here. It says, Shor. Mahu shayachabu mechubar. That's his girsa. Can a shor eat mechubar? Okay? So let's see. Lysachim shor b'disho. It says, shor below saxom, but in odom below saxom.
That you can muzzle a person.
It means. Although he's entitled to eat, what we're excluding him from is you don't get malchus if you were not allowed. In other words, the loisase of loisaksam shor b'disho does not apply to a person. If you were to prevent him from eating, you wouldn't get malchus. That's what it means. You're not allowed to, right? Number three, if you unlawfully prevented the worker from eating, you don't transgress the loisaksam, so you don't get malchus. Okay. Shor mal shiachav mechubar. Okay, 1 second. So what did the Gra do over here? Sounds like he totally got rid of the whole first paragraph. I'm not sure how the Gra learned, because that's the next question. What the Gra says, shor mal shiachav mechubar. That's what we're about to read now. So he must erase that whole piece. So can he eat mechubar? So the Gemara says ma, and the Gemara makes a kalachamer the other way. Ma adam shein oichav betolish oichav mechubar, meaning that a person who doesn't eat betolish. Let's learn it. I guess we could learn it the same way, that it doesn't say explicitly in the pasuk that he eats betolish and only has beferish in the pasuk mechubar, and nonetheless, right, he eats mechubar. So a shor, which is eichel betolish, is beferish in the pasuk that he's betolish. Ain't no din shiachel b'mechubar. Surely he should eat mechubar. So, it's a kalachamer the other way around. Exactly. Omakan below saxom. Perhaps you would think that just as here, in the case of an ox, working with detached produce, which is beferish in the pasuk b'disho, right? You're subject to the losaxom, afkan below saxom. You might think too that once I have this kalvachimer, that if he was working with mechubar, that you'd also be over the loisase, tamalem losaxom from b'disho. B'disho in at chosmo, avo chosmo at b'mechubar l'karka.
So he could eat the mechubar, but he's not over
the loitza thing if he was close enough.
Right.
That's what it says over here. Uh-huh.
Right. It's interesting. Why would you think that? What would be the chiluk? Is this a chok or xeris hakasa or but there's logic.
Second paragraph in 6 says the Vavlin Bomitzia rejects the Kal v'chomer propounded here, asserting its logic is defective. Instead, Vavlin derives the law that an ox is entitled to eat even when working with attached produce from an analogy between the ox and the human worker. We had that before. You noticed that in yesterday's stuff we had a comparison between people working and an animal working. Right, we said just like an animal, we'll call kolcho, so a person will call kolcho, just like from animals with varm malacha, so to a person. There were a whole bunch of comparisons, and now our Gemara started off with the assumption that person was with mechubar and the animal was with cholish. So the Gemara, but Metzia makes the comparison like we started off with in our Gemara.
Right.
Also, the Bali makes no differentiation whatsoever between an animal working with attached and working with detached. The muzzling prohibition would be equally applicable in both cases, meaning you would get the malchus in either event.
And he says that's how the Rambam is quoted.
Yeah.
In the Bible.
There's what to look into over here. Okay, next. 19b2. Mikan Omru. So, we learn on the basis of this, that is what it's saying on the basis of this earlier exposition that the prohibition of muzzling does not apply with respect to a human worker.
Meaning
that there's no losach, it says in the pasuk losach som shor bedisho. So we said that it's only a shor you get malchus for, not for being chosim a person. So mikan amru,
you can be chosim a person.
I said you don't get malchus. So here's a very interesting thing. So let me just tell you, there's one little idea you should know before we read this Gemara. And that is, if the Torah gives a right to a worker, to a poyel, let me put it this way, let me change it a little bit. If the Torah prohibits a person or an animal from eating, from working without eating, losaxim, let's take the shor as the easiest example, losaxim shor b'disho, that means that you can't make a stipulation, you know what, I'm going to be chosim my shor, and I'll take the money. What it would have eaten, let's say it would have eaten $10 worth of food, I really need the money, give me $10 and I'll be chosim it, and he won't eat. So you can't do that. Because the Torah says there's a loisase. You can't exchange it. So if there was a loisase for a person, let's say there was no drasha of losaksam shor b'disho, that issa would apply across the board both for Adam and animal, man and animal, then you wouldn't be able to make a stipulation, you know what, I'm not going to eat. I'll wait till I get home to eat. You give me $10 extra per hour and I won't eat anything. Can't do that, because there's a loisase. The fact is, there is no loisase. But there is, so therefore, I could, there's a monetary allotment that the Torah gave you that you can eat from the farm. You as a gadol can be meichel that. But if you're talking about a cotton doesn't have das. So he's not a bar mechila. Therefore, you cannot stipulate for a cotton not to eat. Rather, I'll take the money because that's his right, and you can't take that right away from him. So in other words, let's just realize that there's two things going on here. There's a loisase, and there's a monetary right. Okay? So even if the loisase doesn't apply, because we're saying it only applies to shor, not to adam, but the monetary right does apply to Adam. He has the right to get the food. So that okay. So now with that knowledge, we can go ahead and read the Gemara. So we kind of wrote, person can stipulate for himself that he relinquishes the privilege to eat. And he can likewise stipulate this for his adult son or daughter. The adult slave or maidservant. Ideal for his wife. Then they change for him das. They have das, and they could willingly be Michael. You can't stipulate for his young children. Why they adav shukasu hakatanim, and not through his eved and shukahu hakatanim. He says in the footnote, it must be katanim, it must have to be by ben. You could never have a case of a ben katan in Jewish law. It has to be a ben shuk, eved shukha, an eved knani. That's a katan. That's the only time you have it. Nor ayidei his animal, they don't have das. Now he speaks out. Now the animal, that's not the main reason why. You see, let's take a look at 13, I think it's in there. And look at the fourth line up from the bottom. In the case of the animal, the reason the master cannot stipulate that his animal be muzzled is that he has no jurisdiction in this matter. The Torah prohibits him to muzzle even his own animal. So surely not, you're working with someone else's field that you can't, right? Even if you were working in your own field with your own animal, you wouldn't be able to do that, okay? Yeah, okay.
Oh, interesting. He says that he's eating. It's not part of the salary. Because if it was part of the salary, right, the Eved, so then, you know, he could think of Mashakana Eved Kana Rabo, and he could take it away. He says it's a Matana Mishamayim.
Right.
So that he doesn't have the right to take away.
Very good.
Right, that's a good chav.
Very good.
Yeah.
He says, rather the worker is said to partake of heavens. That is, the Torah merely awards him the privilege to eat the produce as a charitable gift without giving him any monetary right to it. A minor worker does not have the legal capacity to waive the privilege, so the master cannot prevent him. Okay, that's what it says.
Hebrew, Michel Shomayim.
Well, Shomayim sounds a lot better.
Yeah. That's not what you're saying. Too fancy.
Yeah. Okay. So we have a very important klal here in this Gemara that you can be Michael. You can waive your right to partake. But not if there's a loisase involved and not if you don't have das. Okay. Next. So we said before that when the worker goes ahead and eats, that he's potter from taking the maestros, right? He's allowed to eat. He's potter from taking maestros, right? That's what the Mishnah said. So the Gemara is asking on this. The halacha should rather be, if you eat because the Torah lets me eat. So, you know, the Gemara is really asking a kind of like lumdusha question. If mekach is kaveya, so the fact that the Torah allows me to eat, that also has a hashivas. You know, if I'm going to stay here where, and especially if there would be a loisase involved, but for sure it would be a hashivas. Right? But anyway, at any rate, that's the question. The more answers are Rabbi Yonah, the Torah says, HaTorah Patra, I say the Torah patras him. Dechsev kenaf shecha. It says in the pasuk, if you look on the side, you'll see it says the pasuk. Shisavo bekerem reyacha, when you come in the vineyard of your friend, v'chalta anovim kenashecha sovecha, you'll eat according to your fill, whatever you want to eat of grapes, right? The alkali chalosite. Now it says kenashecha, so the Gemara's darshaning kenashecha means your desire. You're not burdened down with hafroshas of trumas and maestros. That's not means I just go ahead and eat to my heart's content. I'll have to start clearing every time I pull something up, is it chayiv in maizus? Do I have a pruta chamura? You know, that wouldn't be geschmack. Now, important note here. This is very important. Notice that the Gemara is quoting a pasuk. The whole Hava Amina was only what? That because there was a kfias, because the Torah allowed you to eat, so maybe it should look like Mekach, right? Now, we said already, Mekach and Truma and right, all the things in Shabbos, all the things that are Kaveya are all Midrabanon. And here the Gemara quotes a pasuk, Kanashachos, which sounds like it's a Deraisa, but it can't be a Deraisa. It's a Drabanon. It's the spirit, and the pasuk in Asmachta Ba'alma, that's what they say. Okay, very interesting observation. Taman Teninon, we learned over there, where's there? Yushalmi Ba'metziya. If you were working with the grapes, with the figs, you can't eat the grapes. By an oven, you're working with the grapes, you can't eat the figs. Tani Allah, we say, even more than that. If you're working with this branch, you can't eat off of another branch. Pellet plum, the same fruit. You work the same tree, the same fruit, and it's you can't go to here to take it from there. You can take from this branch, but not from the other branch. So the Gemara has asked a question like this. Utaninon, yet we learned, we're going to ask a question now. In our mission, it says if you're working with the inferior grapes, the inferior figs, you shouldn't eat from the higher quality figs, right? You can only eat from the figs that you're working with. Right. And vice versa, the same way. So the Gemara is asking a question. What do you need that for? If you can't eat from the same branch, you can't eat from a different branch on the same min, surely you can't eat from a different min altogether. What do I need this for, right? So the Gemara answers, L'chein tzrifa, you know what I need it for? For the final following case, it's a funny case. It's afilu shteyam biyichrachon. Even if they're both, you've got high quality figs on one part of the branch and low quality figs on another part of the branch. So you've got on the same branch. On the same branch. See, he says it's possible. In 23, he says if you graft it onto a branch of another type, you could have possibly.
So it's mamish
mean him. Yeah. But he says it can't be, it's not klayim because they're both the same min. They're both te'inu.
Oh,
so levasim and b'nai sheva, it's different quality, so therefore it's not klayim. Okay, otherwise it might be a problem with klayim. Now, sip, kisova become yacho, yacho b'shan ko, anima kusum adabra, tamo lemra, lal kol ki holy sitei. What's this last thing? That it says you come into the vineyard of your friend, you might think we're talking about not only a hired worker, but any other person who enters the vineyard that he can want, that he can also eat. So Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk says, El Kel Yecholo Sitein. You can't put it into your vessel. In other words, you're not allowed, remember we said, you're not allowed to use a sickle to harvest your personal food, and you're also not allowed to start throwing it into a, you know, like you, some people go to weddings and they bring along some aluminum foil in their pocket with a bag, 7 mile market bag, and they start collecting the rolls because nobody eats the bread on the table, so I can take home like a Mishnah for Shabbos if it's a Thursday night. Chasana, you know, things are rough, you know what I'm saying? You have to figure out how to make ends meet, okay? So this is what's telling me you can't do that. I'll tell you, chalositain. You can't put the food in your 7 mile market bag. So, avonoisen at lekelo shel chavirach, but you can put them into your friend's kelim. Your kelim, you can't put it in. But your friend's kelim, you can put it. What does that mean, you can put in your friend's kelim? Your friend is referring to the Baal Bais, right? You can fill up his basket.
No, not the Baal Bais, the worker.
No, we're talking to the worker. I'm talking to the worker. El kel yecholo sitein. You, the worker, can't put it into your 7 mile market bag, right? Isn't the pasuk addressing you, the worker?
Yeah.
And we're making a diuk. El kel yecholo sitein ha lekli shel chavei recha. Doesn't mean your fellow worker. Because that wouldn't make sense. I could put it in my friend, in the other worker's bag. That doesn't make sense. The Torah doesn't allow it. Doesn't want. It's referring to the owner of the field as chavei recha. That's the way I understood it. I know it says zahav poel. It's the worker. What does it mean? It's the worker 27.
Yeah, he's saying that you were putting it in the owner's basket, and then you stopped and you put it in your other.
Correct. The verse could have simply said el kli lo sitain. You shouldn't put it into a vessel, and it says el kel yecha to your vessel. So what does that mean?
The verse indicates that it's referring to a worker.
It's referring to the worker who is otherwise occupied with putting grapes into his employer's vessel. That's the idea. Okay. You want to go on?
No.
Okay, we'll stop here on Dav Chof. Everybody have a good night.